You're listening to an On the Move Media Co. production.
Yeah, I've mainly just been coaching myself, and then also it's just hard because my like it's like anything, just like balancing like life with running, and so I just have to be like really flexible with my training, and like fitting things into like how my energy and my life demands are. And so like I try to study other coaches like principles and like I kind of know what a lot of people are doing in terms of their training, and then I'm like, okay, like, you know, I like kind of this philosophy, or this philosophy kind of fits my style of running, what I adapt to, what I do best with. And then I kind of take that and put it into, you know, my own actual training. And then sometimes it's just like my training isn't ideal, but that's just what it is. And I think that's another like big thing is like when you're training, especially like if you have like most people listening to this, like they have jobs, they have kids, they have stuff.
Yeah.
They have a lot of stuff. Like running isn't their like, they don't just wake up and their life is running. So you have to, so training is not always going to be ideal, but it also, it doesn't necessarily need to be ideal, because a lot of times like what we think of ideal is kind of like this just like arbitrary training plan that either we or our coach put together, and like there's thought behind it, like there's reasoning, like it's a good training plan probably, but also like that may not be the best way that like your body, you know, if you hit this workout, your body's gonna change in this way. Like it's always an educated guess anyways, so your training doesn't have to go perfect for you to still get in shape. And that the more I'm running, you know, the more I'm okay with that, where it's like my training doesn't have to look a certain way or be a certain way or like go the way I intended it to, but like I can still be fit and I can still race well. You know, I mean, you do have to do certain things in training, but it doesn't have to be perfect, and you can have some weeks that are just like, man, I don't even know, like, should I drop out of my race? Cause like, I'm not training well, but it's like more than likely you're gonna be fine if you just, you know, stay on it.
That was CJ Albertson. This is Marnie Salop. Hello, welcome, and welcome back to the Marnie on the Move podcast, Boston Marathon edition. This week, we teamed up with the Westin Hotels and Resorts, Westin Seaport Boston, and Westin Copley Place to bring you this series of six conversations from the heart of the city and Marathon Central with Olympic, professional, elite, and recreational runners. On episode 5 of the Marnie on the Move podcast, Boston edition, I sync up with CJ Albertson, Brooks Maverick and professional runner. CJ Albertson finished the Boston Marathon 2024 in 2 hours, 9 minutes, and 53 seconds as top American and 7th place overall, just after a few weeks of coming in 5th place at the U.S. Olympic Marathon Trials in Orlando. CJ and I chat about what he was looking forward to at his 4th time racing Boston, his overall marathon goals, his partnership with Brooks, and his favorite running shoes, and he shares how he's self-coached and a few lessons he takes from running to his teaching career and family life. You are going to be inspired. I hope you enjoy what you hear. If you do, feel free to take a screenshot and share it on your social channels. Leave us a 5-star rating on Spotify and Apple. Shout out to Westin Hotels and Resorts. Westin Hotels and Resorts is hospitality's global leader in well-being for more than a decade. They empower guests to transcend the rigors of travel while on the road through the brand's 6 pillars of well-being: sleep well, eat well, move well, feel well, work well, and play well. At more than 240 hotels and resorts in over 40 countries and territories, guests can benefit from distinct wellness experiences, including the brand's iconic and award-winning Heavenly Bed, the signature Westin workout offerings such as its fitness studio with TRX fitness equipment, and its versatile gear lending program featuring the latest in recovery and strength training from Hyperice and Bala. I had the pleasure of experiencing this firsthand while in town for the Boston Marathon when staying at the Westin Boston Seaport. I got to experience their Run Westin program, went for a run in the area with one of their signature maps, and had an amazing time. In 2023, Westin Hotels and Resorts teamed up with Abbott World Marathon Majors to get travelers race ready from start to finish in the first ever hospitality collaboration. The collaboration, activating at select Westin properties in Boston, London, Berlin, Chicago, New York City, and Tokyo, will offer new tailored experiences to help marathoners of all levels get to the starting line and cross the finish line, as well as offer exclusive perks to celebrate the achievements of six-star finishers. If you're headed out on a racecation or looking to explore a city through running, I highly recommend checking in to the nearest Westin Hotel and Resort. All right, on to my conversation with CJ.
CJ, it is so great to meet you.
Yeah, it's good to meet you too, especially here in Boston.
Yeah, thanks so much for being on the podcast. I know that you are running on Monday.
Yeah. This is my fourth Boston, so you know I'm excited. And every time I come back to Boston, it's special and just like a lot of fun. So I'm definitely ready and excited for it.
What do you like the most about this course, and what keeps you coming back?
I mainly just like the atmosphere, like the people out on the course. You know, I mean, the course itself is obviously like, you know, people talk a lot about the course and the Newton Hills and all that, but it's mainly just like the atmosphere. I mean, because you could pick, you know, any 26-mile segment and, you know, it'll have interesting features, I guess. But when you have like a million people or however many people come out to spectate, it's just really special, really awesome. And, you know, you go through all these different towns and it's just like so loud and they're all kind of unique but bring the same type of energy. So, yeah, just the atmosphere is my favorite thing.
So are you, what other marathons have you done that you love?
I haven't done like too many major marathons actually, so it's hard to really say. I mean, like whenever I run the Olympic trials, like I've ran now 2020 and 2024, those are really fun because it's like it's just like hyper competitive, I guess, because like, you know, you're trying to make the Olympic team, and I kind of like when people have just that feeling where like there's kind of like high stakes and everyone has like these nerves. It just makes it more fun to me. Like the world, like the majors are really fun too, but a lot of, you know, a lot of people, even myself included, like, you know, you kind of have a good idea. You're probably not going to win as much as you're trying to, you know, always want to have in the back of your mind, maybe I could win. It's like realistically, you know, guys have like nine minute PRs better than me, but like, you know, I can be top five, maybe top 10. But at the Olympic trials, it's like, okay, there's a lot of people that have a realistic shot of being top three. And so like you have like that weight and those nerves of that, and like you can kind of feel it from people. And it's just like, it's just fun. Like I like that type of like pressure in a way. And then like that energy kind of translates from the fans, because like they know what's at stake. And a lot of the fans that are there are people that have traveled, that have a vested interest of it, like their friends or family or coaches or agents. And there's like just spectators that don't have anyone involved too, but most of the people there have some sort of like, this is my guy, like this is my woman, I gotta get her, like get them to the Olympics. And so there's just that like emotional energy that just makes it like super fun. Maybe some people wouldn't like that because it's like more like business like, but I find it really fun.
The competition adds like an extra sort of element to it, right? And this is your job. So, you know, you're there to have fun and you're there to win. In Boston, though, like the majors, there's so many people, there's so much crowd energy. I was at the Olympic trials just in Orlando. It was hot.
It felt great to me.
Yeah.
I like warm weather.
Where do you live again?
Fresno, California.
Okay.
So it's warm there. I went to college at Arizona State in Phoenix, so warm there. Did a lot of like heat acclimation training for the trials, so I liked it. I don't like when it gets cold, my legs just don't feel good. So Boston, some years I'm always like, oh, please don't be like under 40. But yeah, whenever it's like, oh, upper 50s, 60s, that's great.
Amazing. When did you start running? You started in high school, right?
I ran in high school. I actually started in elementary school. We had like little 7-week cross-country season at our elementary school. So I started there and basically just kept running, you know, from fourth grade on. I did other sports as well, but running was always what I was, you know, best at and stuck with.
When did you realize like you were gonna go pro?
Never. I mean, I when I first started, I was pretty good. Like when, you know, that fourth grade year, I won all the races, but it's very local, like just around like my school district. But I knew I was good in high school. My freshman year, I had some success. And so like in the back of my mind, it was like, yeah, like maybe I could go pro. Actually, I didn't really know what pro was. I just thought like, you know, I could be really good, maybe like the Olympics or something like that. I didn't really know there was like a pro circuit like when I was like early high school. But then when I was in college, I was a good college runner, but not great. So I had there wasn't any professional opportunities, and I wasn't even thinking about that because I wasn't at that level or anywhere near it. And then for a year after college, I was just kind of working, just running kind of casually. And then I got into marathons, just kind of like most people, like, hey, I want to run a marathon in my hometown. So I did it, and I qualified for the Olympic trials in that race. And then just kind of kept getting better. And at the 2020 Olympic trials, I was seventh. And then that allowed me to get a pro contract with Brooks. And so, that day is when I realized I could be a professional, was whenever I signed with them. Like, I think my start day was April 1st, 2020. So
that's amazing. And so you've run in several different pairs of Brooks shoes, like different brands. What's your go-to shoe that you like running in now?
I mean, right now, like the new Hyperion collection, like the Hyperion Elite 4s are great. I pretty much run in those every day, to be honest, just because they're, I mean, one, I can get as many pairs as I need. So, you know, they're $250 shoes, $250 pair of shoes. So like maybe you shouldn't run in them every day, but, and it's not necessary to, but since I can, I do.
Yeah, as you should.
But I really like those. I like the Glycerins, like the newest ones, like the 21s, I think. And those are kind of like my favorite. And then there's a new like Hyperion Max 2, I think, that's coming out in a few months that I'm really excited to try. It just looks interesting. And I like that original Hyperion Max as well.
That's my favorite of their speed shoes, the Hyperion Max.
It doesn't have that, it doesn't have the plate, which makes it a little bit more comfortable just for like a daily, like running or like doing like a faster long run or something like that, tempo work. It's really light. The foam's really good, but yeah.
Yeah. In terms of Brooks, like they just have such a great variety of shoes, like for every kind of runner. Like I ran in the Ghosts.
Yeah.
Most of my running life. And then I started doing shoe reviews and testing and this podcast. And so I started trying all different kinds of shoes. But I always go back to Brooks in terms of, like, just they just make such great shoes. And they're solid.
Yeah.
Not the Ghost, though. I also, like, I've run in them, but, like, also other, yeah.
I do really like the Ghost Max, actually. And it comes in a wide, and I have really wide feet. And the Ghost Max in a wide is... it's good.
I like it. You're here in Boston. What has it been like for you in terms of like your schedule and your day? Like, are you just like booked?
No, I mean, especially like, so Brooks went to the Olympic trials and kind of had like everything in that. So a lot of years Brooks will have a lot of stuff like in Boston, but this year a lot of that was for the Olympic trials. So I don't, it's actually, and I never have like a ton of stuff. Like I'm never like booked all the time.
Not yet.
if I win a medal, then it might look different. But for the most part, just had like a press conference yesterday and then did a finish line appearance today. And then just doing a couple things, meeting like this and with a couple other people. But yeah, it's pretty laid back. When I come here, I have a nice mix of like just kind of lounging around, like enjoying my time. I have a few things like keep me active, keep me talking to people, like, you know, having fun. It's definitely not overwhelming and not jam-packed all day.
So what's your, like, for the race, like, what's your strategy for running? And obviously, like, no one's going to see this before, so your competitors won't see it. But what's your sort of, like, strategy and approach to running, nutrition, and hydration?
I'll start with the nutrition, because that's just the easiest, straightforward one to answer. Basically before the race, I will have, sometimes I have like a little bar or something, since it's like a, you know, we start at 9:30, so it's a little bit of an odd start. like a little bit later. So I'll have a little bit of a bar or something, but usually like I'll like sip on a gel like as I'm warming up and kind of going to the start line. And then also take like a little bit of ketone esters. So I use Ketone Aid, and yeah, I'll have about 15 grams or so of ketone esters, but then I'm also taking like carbs with that. So like I'm, you know, keeping my blood sugar about normal, but just getting a little bit of ketones, not like a ton of amount. And then as the race goes, I have a gel, a 30 gram gel about every 4 miles or so. Kind of, it kind of depends on where they place the bottles. Typically it's every 5K. So every 5K to 4 miles, I have a 30 gram gel, and that works out to be, over the course of a race, around 100 grams of carbs per hour.
Okay.
Yeah, and I feel pretty good with that. And then hydration, it just kind of depends on how warm it is.
Yeah.
So I'm just kind of drinking water a little bit by feel. Just if it's hotter, I'm drinking more. I don't have a ton of electrolytes. I'll have about half to two thirds of the recommended serving of the Martin bicarb the night before. Because it's too much. I don't like to like, it's too much to have it the morning of, and I don't want to mess up my
stomach. Bicarbonate.
Yeah. Okay. So I have a bunch of sodium in me, so I don't necessarily have to take tons of sodium during the race, because I mean, it's a lot of soda. Like it's a lot of sodium that you're taking in that bicarb serving. So yeah, I pretty much just have water in the bottles, and then my gel taped on to the bottles.
Awesome. And your strategy for the race? Like, what's your plan that you can share?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's not super complex. I just basically will try to go out with the best pack that I can. That I think there's only going to be one pack probably. So I'll probably go out with the lead pack. Ideally, they'd go out slower than last year. Last year, we were out at 62:20, which is too fast for me right now, and I'm not in that type of shape where I can go out that fast and have a good race. So I'm hoping it's closer to like 63:30, even like 64 flat would probably be perfect for me right now. But who knows what it will go out at. And if it's a little bit faster, like if we are running low 440 pace, I'll kind of just have to look around and see if there's another pack forming that I can just sit in with.
Yeah.
'Cause I don't really want to do a whole lot of like pacing work. I want to just kind of just find people and run behind and not do a whole lot. So there's it's very thinned out after you get past that front group. We don't have like there's not a ton of depth after those mm-hmm. like top 15 guys that are all going to run really fast. So I don't know what type of other packs there's going to be besides that big main lead pack.
Yeah. And now can we go back to ketones for a second, because I love ketones and I use a different brand, but have you been using them for a long time?
Yeah, since before the 2020 trials, actually. I started using them a little bit and just kind of seeing how they worked. I feel like definitely the longer the race, probably the better. You know, I kind of wish it would suit me if we had more Tour de France type style running, like marathon. Let's go like a marathon every day for a week. Like that would probably be like my style, and I think ketones would be really effective there, and definitely ultras and stuff too. For the marathon, it's kind of like that in-between distance where you're still, it kind of depends on your finishing time.
Yeah,
you know, like a two-hour race, you know, are ketones necessary? Maybe not, because you're using a very high percentage of carbs, but I had some in my bottle in the Olympic trials, like mm-hmm. at the last three bottle stops. And there's, you know, I probably only got maybe a couple grams in each one. But I think it does keep your brain a little bit active, and I was able to close well. And I don't know if the ketones had an effect or not, but my brain was, you know, I was still like able to push and kind of like sharp the last few miles.
Like so when you're at the wall and you feel like you need to keep pushing harder, like it kind of...
Yeah, I feel like my brain, because like your brain can use ketones as an energy source, and I feel like it kind of helped with that. Energy system-wise, you know, you don't, at least for me, like I'm running at like a pretty high intensity for mm-hmm. my marathon, so I don't want to have too much, because there's some studies that can kind of blunt your really high-end, high-intensity stuff.
Right.
But if you get it just right, you know, it can be beneficial, and definitely for recovery.
Awesome. And so you've been training with Brooks.
Yeah, I'm called a Maverick. So I'm just, just made up the name for us solo people. But yeah, so I don't have a training group. I'm in Fresno, California. No one wants to have a pro training group in Fresno. It's just I love Fresno, but it's just it's a valley. So instead of at altitude, we're at like 100 feet elevation, basically sea level.
It's like New York.
it's kind of like a mini desert. It's just a valley, so it gets really hot. But that's like where I grew up, and I have a great job there. I'm teaching and coaching at a community college, and just kind of have like a nice life. Everything's set up. My family's from there, still living there. My brother just had a baby, and like we have two kids, and my parents live 2 miles from us and help babysit. So it's just like, my life is there, and my job that, you know, it will, when I can't run anymore, will be my job till retirement is there. So that's just where I'm at, and it's...
You've got it all planned. That's awesome.
And I'm kind of like the Brooks Mavericks, which is like, we don't have a group. We're kind of like, there's a few of us kind of solo athletes.
Got it.
So yeah, I'm with that. I still get like great support from Brooks. Obviously like with like shoes and gears and stuff, but then also, just when I need things, or definitely when I'm at events, and just like moral support too, since I don't have a team or a coach, you know, like they're just kind of checking in periodically, and like it feels like they're like a part of my team, because they're just like rooting for me. And I feel like sometimes like other brands, I don't know if they necessarily have that like connection with their athletes, where it's like, I feel like the people on Brooks are like literally like my team, like they're like rooting for me,
family.
And like, yeah, they're like friends, like, so. I definitely like love the brand, and it doesn't feel like necessarily just like work. It's like these are cool people.
Yeah. Yeah. So you don't have a coach?
No. Yeah, it's like I've briefly had a coach, but I mean just for a couple months a few years ago. But I've mainly just been coaching myself, and then also it's just hard because my like. It's like anything, just like balancing like life with running. And so I just have to be like really flexible with my training, and like fitting things into like how my energy and my life demands are. And so like I try to study other coaches' like principles, and mm-hmm. like I kind of know what a lot of people are doing in terms of their training. And then I'm like, okay, like, you know, I like kind of this philosophy, or this philosophy kind of fits my style of running, mm-hmm. what I adapt to, what I do best with. And then I kind of take that and put it into, you know, my own actual training. And then sometimes it's just like my training isn't ideal, but that's just what it is. And I think that's another like big thing, is like when you're training, especially like if you have like most people listening to this, like they have jobs, they have kids, they have stuff.
Yeah.
They have a lot of like running isn't their like, they don't just wake up and
job.
Their life is
yeah.
running. So you have to, but like, so run, so training is not always going to be ideal, but it doesn't necessarily need to be ideal, because a lot of times like what we think of ideal is kind of like this just like arbitrary training plan that either we or our coach put together, and like, there's thought behind it, like there's reasoning, like it's a good training plan probably, but also like that may not be the best way that like your body, you know, if you hit this workout, your body's gonna change in this way. Like it's always an educated guess anyways. So
yeah.
Your training doesn't have to go perfect for you to still get in shape. And that the more I'm running, the more I'm okay with that, where it's like my training doesn't have to look a certain way or be a certain way, or like go the way I intended it to, but like mm-hmm. I can still be fit and I can still race well. You do have to do certain things in training,
right.
But it doesn't have to be perfect, and you can have some weeks that are just like, man, I don't even know, like, should I drop out of my race? Cause like I'm not training well, but it's like more than likely you're gonna be fine if you just, you know, stay on it.
I feel like I had that kind of week this week. I've been really busy like talking about running, but
yeah.
I haven't. Today was the first day that I have run in 5 days, which is like unheard of in my life. Like also I haven't done any cycling or swimming. Like I'm a triathlete and not a thing until today. I just had to go for a run. You know, I just needed to get in some miles and just have that like time in my brain. like away from my work, even though I love what I do.
Yeah.
Consistency is probably like the only thing, right, that is like just the most important thing about training.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you have to run, you have to do some sort of training. So, I mean, even with that, like there can be fluctuations from week to week. So like, you know, you're like sometimes people will get into like weekly miles and it's like, I have to run 60 miles this week. And it's like, it has to be 60, 60, 60. But like, just on average, it needs to be somewhere around 60. Maybe that's like what's best for you. But like maybe 1 week could be 50, 1 week could be 65. And it's like, they're all somewhat around each other, but there's good evidence that it's probably actually more beneficial if there's a little bit more undulation. So those people that are super like, it's got to be exactly the same every week, it's like, that's probably not even the best way to train.
Yeah.
It's probably better to have a little bit more of undulation, but long-term, have that consistency, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I feel like if you are, like, self-coaching is awesome if you listen to yourself. That's my only thought. But, I mean, that's super cool.
Yeah.
How do you feel like your teacher, how do you feel running empowers you for success? How do you feel like running helps you in your day-to-day? Like, what lessons do you take from being out there to help other people and teach?
Yeah, it's definitely, like, running is just something that it takes a long time to have success with, like, especially, like, distance running. Like, you have to train for a long time to reach your potential. And while you're training, there's going to be so much ups and downs. Like, if you've been running for 10 to 15 years, it's like, realistically, like to reach your lifetime potential, you do have to run for 10 to 15 years, maybe even longer. And it's not just going to be this linear progression where it's like, it's just good and you just keep getting better every single race, everything will work out. Like, there's going to be so many ups and downs, so many mental moments where you're like, I don't really know if I want to keep doing this. This isn't really fun. I'm getting worse. Like, should I even get, like, what's going on? And that's like also like how life is. Like, life is not just this linear, like, oh, every day is better than the previous day. It's like, you usually have ups and downs, lots of hard moments, lots of situations where you're like, I don't know if I want to continue this path of life or whatever. And so I think just being able to manage that in a training sense where you can be like, okay, like I'm having a rough patch, a rough moment. And like, it's okay to be frustrated with that. And like, I can feel that, but also like, I can like kind of keep my emotions within me and just like keep going and keep like sticking to the path that like I know is good. And that's kind of like, you know, the same thing with life is like, you're going to have frustrating moments and you can feel those, but also not be controlled by those. And like, you can just, you know, keep going and realize that there'll be a period of time that like you don't see the success.
Right.
Because that's like, that's hard. It's like when we don't see the success for a while, we're like, well, maybe I'm doing something wrong. Maybe I should stop. And sometimes you have to tweak things. But, you know, other times you just have to kind of just know that it's going to be good in the end. You just got to get past these kind of rough patches and, you know, and be kind of like in this weird sense, be content with that. Like, be content when things are just kind of rough sometimes.
Yeah, totally. Well, I mean, this has been so awesome. I'm so psyched. I'm so psyched to see you run past me I'm not running, but I'll be in the Wellesley area watching. But I'm psyched for you. It's going to be fun. So this is your fourth time?
Yep.
Awesome. What do you, like, do you talk about what time you want to get or not?
Is that not a thing? I mean, yeah, I would like to be under 210 just because I've never done it. And I just, like, I know, like, I'm capable of that. And yeah. I ran, well, the trials is my PR at 210.07. Mm-hmm. So I ran between 210.07 and 209.47. Or, no, I mean, sorry, 211.47. Like, I think nine or 10 times now. So it's like, I know I can break 210. I just haven't done it yet. And it's kind of like that big barrier.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, big goal would be top five, and then time goal, I guess, you know, anywhere under 210 would probably be solid for where I'm at.
Awesome.
Right now.
Awesome. I'm rooting for you.
Yeah, thanks.
You're welcome. Thanks for being on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thanks again for tuning in to Marnie on the Move. If you like what you hear, leave us a 5-star review in Apple Podcasts. Follow us on social at Marnie on the Move for Facebook and Instagram. Head over to our website, marnieonthemove.com. For more info on this episode, links in the show notes, and of course, sign up for our quarterly newsletter, The Download, to get updates, deals, giveaways, and information on future events